Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Good to see you guys. For our family, just want to share, today is family birthday. It's our 23rd family birthday, which is our anniversary. Praise the Lord, she is so patient. I am so glad that you guys are here. And I just want to kind of take a moment as we frame what we just saw. That's just a testimony of God's grace and mercy, how he uses us. One of the things I love about the phrases that she said is that she said it in plural. Us, we. Our together. The fact that you are part of a community of believers that accomplishes things like with other people that could not happen alone. One of the things I love too is within our body are a variety of other people who are doing ministry on a daily basis. And it is awesome to be able to partner with you and just to spur you on to love and good works. I'm grateful for these things. It's just testimony of God's mercy. But today is kind of an assessment day where we kind of assess what has happened in the past, and we look forward to cast vision for what's ahead of us. So looking back and looking forward, looking back at 2022, considering the successes that you had, maybe the failures that you experienced, are for many of us that if you can look back and just see areas of God's providence where he showed up in a way that honestly you never even expected. So a few things when it comes to successes or failures to think about. Maybe you had successes in areas of sin. You, in the past, you've had this temptation towards sin in this way, whether it's a public or private sin. Either way, that you saw God's grace so show up in your life that you see success where you're able to kill and die to that sin in your life. Maybe that's your story, and I hope it is. But for many of us, we have just the opposite. We can look back and we see public or private sin that's part of our life that we just continue to try, but we continue to fail. And sometimes what happens is that really affects our relationships. It affects our friendships. It affects our families. If we're dating, it affects that. If we're married, it affects that. And there's so many areas that really are affected by sin in our life. And so for us to just kind of assess that, and then what it would look like for us to begin to see areas of God's providence in relationships, how God delivers and brings about change and help, whether it's occupationally or spiritually, where God shows us through his word what he's doing in our lives. And then as we look forward and cast vision for 2023, the planning for success. As we begin to think about what steps can we take to prepare ourselves to overcome sin. If you know that you've got an area of your life where you are tempted the most, what would it look like for you to kind of plan something so that you wouldn't fall into that trap again? If you know that you have a certain trigger towards sin in an area of your life, if you just did the work and said, you know what, that's not going to be me anymore. So I'm going to kind of put some steps in place. I'm going to develop some accountability. And one of the things, too, that I love, and she alluded to in the video, that we really care about is you being connected in a group. That level of accountability where you have brothers and sisters in Christ caring for your best interest, who look out for you, hold you to that, and build life into you. The other thing, too, with accountability, if you plan this rightly, then you can use like the simple tools that are on your phone, like a calendar, an alarm, just to remind you of certain truths that God has done in your life. And this is even how you can plan and prepare your heart to remember areas of providence that God has shown so that you can have a life of gratitude. I will say this, one of the things that God uses is our humility. And one of the ways to develop humility is to develop a discipline of gratitude. Because once you realize what God has done in your life, there's nothing else you can do but be grateful and humble. Because you know it's not you, it's him. And so we want to just kind of really focus in on that. And to kind of frame that for us, we're going to look in our Bibles at Isaiah 43. And then we're going to jump in the New Testament to 2 Corinthians 5. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to check this text out with me in Isaiah 43. As you're turning there, I want to kind of really help you understand some of its context. So as Isaiah is prophesying for the Lord, these are the words of the Lord delivered to his people in the southern kingdom of Judah. And he's helping them before they're going to go into exile, before they're going to experience really a judgment of God because of their lack of obedience. And so this text, which is super powerful and timely, carries with it, in verse 1 and 2, carries with it a history that they've experienced, but it also forecasts a work that God's going to do. And I want you to see the language here. Verse 1 of Isaiah 43. It says, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. What I love about this text is from the Lord, and it's very relational. There is this intimate connection between God and his people in this text that I think is really important to dial in on. He says, I created you, O Jacob. I formed you. And then he says, fear not. And then he gives like ample reasons why fear shouldn't be part of their life. First reason, he says, for I have redeemed you. Second, I have called you by name. And third, simply put, you are mine. Like, I'm going to take care of you. And then he gives examples, and this is historically for the people of Israel, they would know this. When you pass through the waters, and so the recollection would be the Red Sea, when he parted the Red Sea, when he took something that was like oceans of water and moved them back so that they can walk on dry ground, where he did the impossible. He says, when you walk through that, I will be with you, so don't be afraid. And through the rivers, there's a picture there of the Jordan River when they walked over from the wilderness into the promised land. Notice this, it says, those rivers shall not overwhelm you. And so those are two historical things that the people could look back on how God provided for them. And what's great is this prophecy actually takes place before the people go into exile. And once in the exile, there's this forecasting. It says, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And so the immediate connection point is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. There's this powerful picture of what God has done where they can look back and see markers that would develop and really strengthen and bolster their faith. But what he does is he doesn't just stay there. And so as the chapter 43 develops and grows and matures, we see this work of God really forecasting something new. So look with me at verse 18 and 19. He says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And so this work of just God's providence continuing to show itself faithfully. He says, remember not the former things. Like, don't use them and hold them as crutches. As that's all that God can do. I'm doing a new thing, and it's springing forth. It's a gradual growth and development, and I will make a way in the wilderness. I love that. And rivers in the desert. This wonderful picture shall be God's future interventions on their behalf, that all past ones shall be forgotten in comparison. All the things that God is going to do compared to what he has done, those things will be even better. This picture springing forth is a beautiful, beautiful image of the silent but certain gradual growth of the events of God's providence. If we could just have one of those out-of-body moments where we can look back and see God's mercy of deliverance over time, where we were here at this point in our life. So I gave my life to Christ when I was 15. It's been a few years since then. And so this development of really God showing his mercies, of providing for me in ways that I never knew possible, with areas of brokenness that were in my path where God just saw fit to deliver me, saw fit to step in, and even using hard circumstances to develop me and shape me into the man he wants me to be. And this springing forth where over time he does this. And so for them, just as Israel was in the wilderness between the Red Sea and Canaan, they were guided and supplied with water by God, but the new deliverance will be joined with manifestations of God's power, his love that would eclipse the old. God will open a way for them, not merely in the Red Sea, but in the wilderness of the world. And not merely one river shall gush out of the rock, but many, which shall refresh not the dry ground, but it will refresh the souls of the thirsty. And thus the prophecy here in Isaiah will be fulfilled. This work of the souls of the thirsty. You think about some of our hearts are dry and cracked and broken by areas where we've kind of waned away from what God has for us. We've kind of relied on our own strength, and then we get like disappointed and dissatisfied with things, and we are having these hard hearts, and the prophet Ezekiel really deals with our hard hearts, our hearts of stone, that are self-centered hearts, but they have to be softened. And that's a work of God's grace and his spirit among us, right? Have to be softened and drawn into submission to Christ. And what happens is when our hearts are drawn in submission and they're softened, what happens is those around us experience the benefit of that change of new life. What a grace. And so with that in mind, this work of a new heart and those who've been changed into a new creation, again, we're keeping the theme of new, using God's providence. If you will, look with me at 2 Corinthians 5. Now, in 2 Corinthians, one of the things that Paul is really aiming to do is really he's defending the ministry that God's called him to do. He is really aiming to make sure that they understand what God has called him and those with him to do, and so they're serving with that in mind. And so he's really illustrating this work of the gospel that he's been called to. And what I love is as he's referring to this work himself, by the Spirit of God, this is a work that we too are called to do as well. So look with me in verse 16. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. It says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." This work of taking someone from like this wilderness to life, new life. "That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God." And then notice this amazing sentence. "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." What a powerful just testimony of this call. So a few things here. Looking at verse 16 with me. This idea of from now on, therefore, knowing Christ's compelling love in his death for us, and since God has settled our judgment and raised Christ to new life, he says, as a result of that work, we regard no one according to the flesh anymore, which is our tendency. We find some way to judge someone, to kind of like typecast them as to who they're always going to be. And says, we regard them no longer according to the flesh, because we know that if Christ can do this work of transformation in me, then he can do it in them. What if we thought that way? What if we looked that way? What if we understood that if we've been recipients of God's grace, we can be distributors of God's grace as well? What if we lived with that in mind? And so what happens is, he says, so we don't regard anyone according to the flesh anymore, to those parameters, those boundaries. So we don't see them as some ethnicity. We don't see them as poor or rich. We don't see them as learned and unlearned. We see them as people who Christ came to redeem, their true life in Christ, those who were dead in Christ's death and alive with him in new life because of his resurrection. We see them that way now. We see them differently. In verse 17, this verse that many of us learn in Awana and other places as a kid where we memorize this picture, it says, "Therefore, so as a result of this work of being new in him, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." The old, right? The old way of seeing themselves is gone. The old way of seeing others is gone. Now it's a new way of seeing others and seeing themselves. It's a new purpose in life with new values, with new pleasures, with new habits, new ways to relate to people, to connect and forgive as opposed to the former ways. And I love this because this statement really hinges everything that we've read so far and will read. The statement is, all this, this work that has been done, this work that will happen, all this is from God. Period. This is a work initiated, drummed up, thought up by God. It is carried out by God. It's a work of his Spirit in us to do what he's called us to do. All this is from God. And he continues to illustrate it in this way, "who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Again, Paul is referring back to the work that he's been called to do. This work reconciled here, all this is from God, reconciled us by satisfying the claims of justice against us. Our position judiciously considered in the eye of the law is altered. The way that we stand before God formally as one condemned who deserves God's wrath, now we were considered innocent because of this. This is what reconciled means. And as we continue, we see this picture. It's not as though the mediation of Christ had made a change in God's character, not as if the love of God was produced by the mediation of Christ. In fact, the mediation and sacrifice of Christ was the provision of God's love for us. And so if we think about the ways that our parents show us that they love us, they don't just say it, do they? No, they don't. They actually illustrate it. Sometimes they're patient with us when we need it. Sometimes they discipline us when we need it, right? And we see this work where Christ illustrates that love by dying on the cross for us. He took that punishment that we deserve. So as we continue with this thought, I want us to check this. The blood of Christ helped us obtain the favor of God because it was spotless. He was a spotless lamb, and he died in our place. And then notice verse 18 with me. As we continue, so reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the first thing that we see is from God. But also verse 19, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. God used his son to bring us to be one with him, to reconcile us to himself, and gave us, notice this, the message of reconciliation. The first thing that we see from God is he gives us a ministry, a way to serve reconciliation. The second thing here is a word, a message of reconciliation. So the gospel picture is a way to bring us near. And he gave us this work. What if we communicated that message of reconciliation? What if it's us saying it, talking about what God has done for us? But also, what if we lived it out and did it? Now, one of the things that I want to talk about in the next verse is this word ambassadors. As we see in verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. It's God making his appeal through us. So an ambassador is one who represents someone else. They live their life on behalf of another. So in this case, what Paul is saying is that they're living their life on behalf of Christ, Christ living through them. So they serve as if they represent Christ. They represent other people that way, or represent Christ that way. They speak as if Christ is speaking through them. Now, let's just be super simple. I think for many of us, it's kind of easy to live that out with strangers. Like, we can be people who are ministers of reconciliation when we go on a mission trip or when we serve in our community. I think the hardest place to live out being messengers of reconciliation and ministers of reconciliation and ambassadors for Christ representing him is at home. You guys ever experienced that with your brothers and sisters? Is it super difficult to really serve Christ, right? And big people, I think sometimes that's the hardest place to do it. Like, because you know they're always going to be there and love you and receive you. But what if you started there as a way to practice this picture of reconciliation? What if your siblings and your parents knew that you were representing Christ there? What if that happened? What if you begin to illustrate the love of Christ that he has for you to them? And the way that you forgave them, the way that you shared with them, the way that you were patient with them. What if you did it that way and lived that way? And so this powerful work of reconciliation that we've been called to really is a work that should transform our lives. And notice how Paul says this, that we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent him there. It's no longer I who's living, it's Christ living through me. It's God making his appeal through us. And then he says to them, to the church at Corinth, we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God, to be made right with God, to be brought near. Now, here's the thing about reconciliation. I think all of us know this, right? We know what it's like to be like upset with someone else, kind of mad at them. Any of you ever been mad with somebody? or heard, you have a friend who's been mad at somebody? Okay, you know what that's like. Thank you for being honest over here. We're just going to count on G56 here. And so this is the beauty, is that God is reconciling us to himself because we have sinned against him, and he is drawing us near, and he does that through Christ. And then we get to this verse on how he did it. You ever wonder how God did it? Verse 21, for our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. In Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. So here's how we're going to put it. The innocent was punished voluntarily as if guilty. So let's say this together. The innocent was punished voluntarily, okay, as if guilty. The guilty might be graciously rewarded as if innocent. That's the verse. We were declared innocent because he took our guilt. That's the gospel. Not that we deserve it, but God graciously did this work so that we can experience this work. Again, it's a message and a ministry of reconciliation that we've been called to do and to live. But it's also the fact that we are ambassadors. So let me take you guys back in time when I was about your age, okay? So I grew up in First Baptist Church, Clearwater, South Carolina. And one of the things we had in our church was this thing called Royal Ambassadors. Anybody? None of you. Oh, thank you. I got one in the house. Thank you, Brent Thorne. And so we had this like pledge that we had to do at the beginning of RAs on Wednesday nights. It was the RA pledge, and there was also a song, which I'll spare you because I love you. I'm a changed man. And it says this, as a royal ambassador, I will do my best to become a well-informed, responsible follower of Christ, to have a Christ-like concern for all people, to learn how the message of Christ is carried around the world, and to keep myself clean, healthy, mind, and body. That was the RA pledge that I learned in second grade. And I share that with you because this call that I was making as an 8 and 9 year old boy is the call that Christ is calling us to be ambassadors for him, to represent him wherever we are, all the time. What if within your dating life you aim to be an ambassador for Christ? What if, like in your friendships, the way that you talk to your friends, you aim to be an ambassador for Christ? What about with your classmates? What if you aim to be an ambassador for Christ with your classmates, with your teachers, on the ball field? What if in your marriage you aim to be an ambassador for Christ, representing Christ there and caring about reconciliation there? And even thought about, I mean, conflicts are going to happen within your marriage, but what if you handled them in such a way that you represented Christ even in conflict? You see, this is possible because of this new life in Christ that we've been given, this way, as he talked about in Isaiah, this way in the wilderness, streams in the desert, that God can do this revolutionary, transformative work in us, not because we deserve it, but because he's good. And so here's the question. What if, by God's grace, by the power of God's Spirit, you accepted the call in 2023? What if you accepted the call to commit to the ministry of reconciliation with your brothers and sisters at home? What if you made a commitment by the grace of God, by the power of God's Spirit, to the message of reconciliation, where you understood the grace that you've been shown, and you want to make sure that you show that same grace to other people? What if you commit to that message? What if you were to make a commitment to be an ambassador for Christ, to represent Christ wherever you are, in the classroom, on the ball field, in your home, at the marketplace, where you work? What if you represented Christ there as an ambassador? If you would, my question is, how different would your life be? By the way, I'm not going to say any of this is easy. That would be a lie. And I want to make sure that you understand that this is only by the Spirit of God in you, working in you and through you for his good praise and glory for his name. What would be different about your life? Let me take it a step deeper. If you committed to the ministry of reconciliation, if you committed to the message of reconciliation and committed to be an ambassador to represent Christ wherever you are, whose life around you would be different? Whose life around you would be different if you lived this way? You think about it. And so what we want to do is we want to begin to live this out in all our relationships. And what's great is you could be spurred on by this if you date the right way, if you have the right friends who care about your growth and development as a follower of Christ. Within your marriage, you and your spouse can encourage each other this way. And another area that we care so deeply and we keep saying it a lot because it matters so much to us because we know how it can help you, is if you were involved in a group, a small group, to have that relationship where you can have people speak life into you and you can do the same to them. Like, we care about you learning this, about you being equipped toward this end. Again, if you committed to this type of life, a ministry and a message of reconciliation, as ambassadors for Christ, how would your life be different? And how would the lives of those around you be different? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for your kindness, Lord God, for your mercy. Lord God, I thank you so much that you help us understand that we may think that our jobs are a place that we shop, the market, Lord God, is just an accident. But Lord God, help us remember by your providence that those aren't accidents. Those are opportunities to be ministers of reconciliation, to be messengers of reconciliation. Lord God, to represent you as ambassadors. Lord God, I pray that you would help us do this. Help us with living this out at our homes, in our neighborhoods. Lord God, at school, at the ball field. Lord, we thank you so much for this work that you've called us to. I pray that your Spirit would help us live this out for your name, for your glory. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.